like for you to pray with me. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we just look to you this morning to speak into each and every heart and life today. Father, I just ask for your anointing, your touch upon this service. Lord, we know that only you can truly change our hearts and lives. And so, Father, we just receive your word, Lord, with faith this morning, believing, Lord, that it speaks to us, that it is for us, and that it will change us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we are beginning a series on peace. It is something that is desperately needed in our society, the culture that we live in. And even though that we are believers, and we know that God's peace is available to us, every one of us struggles at one time or another with stress and worry, anxiety, and God's peace really is for us. One guy says, my therapist told me the way to achieve true inner peace is to finish what I start. So today I've already finished 2 bags of chips and a chocolate cake, and I feel better already. Yeah, that'll make you feel better, right? Now we're going to talk about something a little bit more meaningful, something a little bit more real. In fact, I believe over the next several weeks that we're going to learn how to really have this peace that God has for us. You know, the Word of God tells us that Jesus gives us peace. We can have peace like a river, the Bible says. That we can have great peace. That we can have peace that passes understanding. And that we can have perfect peace. See, it's available to us, but are we really living in that kind of peace? We know it's for us, but I'm telling you that even believers can get stressed out in this unbelieving world. We need peace. It is one of the greatest needs of mankind. And you know, not having peace just opens you up to all kinds of troubles. You know, stress can make you sick. It weakens your immune system. It can cause you to put on weight. This is not a commercial advertising some pill. I'm just telling you, stress can cause you to put on weight and retain weight. You know, Carmen and I go on vacation once in a while, and it's amazing when we go on vacation, we don't ever diet. In fact, it's the one time that, well, I shouldn't say the one time, that wouldn't be true. I don't want to lie in the pulpit. But it is certainly a time that we just eat whatever we want. I eat whatever I want. I eat dessert after almost every meal, except breakfast maybe. Well, no, we even did that this time. We had waffles with butter and syrup on it at the end of every breakfast. And almost without exception, I either lose weight or at the worst, stay the same. How can that be? And we're just always trying to figure this out, because at home, you know, we diet, we cut back, we try to watch what we eat, and you know, the only difference that we've been able to come up with is the stress level. Now, what that means is that I need to go on vacation a lot more. No, that's not right. That's not right. What that means is that I really need to get a hold of this message of peace. Because it doesn't matter if we're on vacation or if we're going through our daily routine, whatever it might be, we need to have peace. It's available to us. It's for us. And I'll tell you, it can cause so many problems in your life. You know, it can cause stomach problems, headaches. It can cause heart problems. It can even increase your risk of cancer. It can break down your health. In fact, when stress overwhelms the body, they call it a breakdown. causes all kinds of emotional problems, mental problems. You know, a lot of people get to the place where they just can't cope anymore. It is one of the causes of suicide. People just can't deal with the stress. But you know, a lot of people feel like they're just barely keeping their head above water. And I want you to know that is not what God has for us. You see, stress will keep you from really being effective for God. It can ruin your witness because, you know, when you're stressed out, you can be short and abrupt and even unkind to those that are closest to you and that you love the most. And it's just that stress can affect and infect so much of our life. We need the peace of God. You know, that need for peace is so great that people will try just about anything to get peace. They'll try solitude, and you know, that's a good idea. It can work, especially if you mean getting alone with Jesus. But just being by ourselves is a temporary solution because life isn't going to go away. In fact, sometimes when we're alone, we worry about all the things that stress us. Some make it a way of life. When they get stressed, they have a drink. Sure is quiet in here. Such a dangerous pattern. You might think that it's safe for you, but is it safe for your loved ones? Is it safe for your friends? Will your children one day become alcoholics because of your freedom? But at the end of the day, I can assure you the Prince of Peace doesn't want you looking to a bottle for peace instead of to Him. So many use illegal drugs to deal with stress. It's epidemic, but what is even a greater epidemic in our society today is the use of prescription drugs to try to find peace and to be able to deal with anxiety and stress. And I just have to tell you, you can't get real peace from a pill. It will only numb you for a little while. Hear me now, I'm not judging anybody, but I'm acknowledging that people are desperate for peace and they are looking for peace in all the wrong places. This is so important. You see, as long as we're looking in the wrong places, we're not looking in the right place. And I'm just telling you that none of those things can give you lasting peace. A lot of people try to find peace through some hobby or entertainment. And maybe sometimes we need to be distracted from the weightier matters of life, but it's still so temporary. So many look to religion for peace. Do you know all of the world's great religions talk about peace? But there is no set of rules that can bring you peace. It doesn't matter how much you focus your mind on nothingness and la-la land and look at the third eye. Never mind, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just never mind. It won't bring you peace. Not real peace, not lasting peace, because there is only one source of true peace, and that is the Prince of Peace. That is Jesus Himself. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Christ in Isaiah 9 and 6. He says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. And when he came, the angels declared, see, at his birth, they declared peace on earth. He is the author of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, in this verse, Paul is saying that confusion in the church is not from God. And he's specifically addressing an issue with the Corinthians where the people were exercising their gifts not to edify the body, but it just brought confusion. But what a truth the scripture gives us here, that God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace. And so I can tell you, he wrote the book on it. You want to have peace in your life? I'm telling you, Jesus is the source of peace. He is the God of peace. Romans 16:20, one of my favorite verses. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, I think it's a little bit ironic, don't you, that he says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet? Listen, he is not a God of war. He is not the God of strife and conflict and war and confusion. He's not the God of any of that. He is the God of peace. But let me tell you something. He will bring peace. And he will crush Satan under your feet. He will make his enemies his footstool. He is the God of peace, and he gives us peace. John 14:27. You might want to turn to this one. We're going to keep coming back to this verse. It's a key verse this morning. John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is the one who gives us peace. But as long as we're looking to other things, I'm telling you, our peace will be fleeting. His peace is a lasting peace. Jesus said, not as the world gives. See, the peace that the world gives is so dependent upon the circumstances of life. A lot of people's peace depends on what they see on the evening news. A lot of people's peace depends on what happens with the stock market or the economy or the government. And it's always going up and down and up and down. I'm telling you, that's not the peace that Jesus wants to give us. He said, my peace I give to you. What is his peace? He said, my peace. My peace. What is that peace look like? The peace that he had. We get the same peace that Jesus had. The very night that he made the promise of peace to his disciples, the very night that he is telling them, my peace I give to you, he was betrayed. It wasn't a surprise to Jesus. He knew what was about to happen. In fact, that's why he's talking to them about peace. And I want you to understand that the peace that Jesus had was a peace that lasted through all that he went through. Listen, he told the disciples in Matthew 16:21 how he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes. He must be killed and he must be raised the third day. Now he knows that all this is about to happen. And yet he has peace. And this is the same peace that Jesus gives to us. You see, this is not the world's peace. This is not a fragile peace. No, this is something really strong. This is a peace that can't be shaken. When Jesus says, "My peace I give to you," we're not talking about, you know, a little temporary fix. We're not talking about a Band-Aid. We're talking about true peace. That no matter what you face, you can still have peace. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, it's not like the world gives. See, the world's peace is elusive. Sometimes it seems like the more that people pursue after peace in the world and the world's way, the more that it eludes them. The world's peace is fragile. I mean, just a moment that what little peace you have can be shattered by an event or circumstance. The world's peace is dependent upon our present circumstance. Jesus' peace is not an outward peace. It is an inward peace. It is eternal. It's unshakable. It's not dependent upon circumstances. You see, if you're waiting for all your problems to go away, if you're waiting until things just calm down, if you think that eventually you're going to get past all of this stress and you're going to get past these problems, I got news for you. You're never going to have peace. There's always going to be some more trouble. I remember living in an apartment. How can you have peace when you got these thin walls and neighbors right next door and below you and everything else playing that music? And how can you have peace? Well, then we had a house for a long time. This house or that house, we had a house. You know what? It just seemed like there was always something. I mean, you know, we had that one house with the 250 shrubs and so many trees and a pool, and trying to worry over that pool and hassle with that pool. How can you have peace with a pool? I don't know. And now, you know, something that we had prayed for, believed for, dreamed about for many years, we have some acres in the country. And it's amazing. And it looks like a picture. You wouldn't believe how much work it is to keep it looking like a picture. And there's always something to be stressed about. I'm just telling you. If you're waiting for the perfect situation in life, see, when you're a teenager, you think, oh, I get out of the house, then I won't have these problems. Okay. Well, when they're not in diapers anymore, it won't be any more trouble. Well, when they just get a little older. Yeah, teenage years are coming, right? By the way, I just got to throw it in every once in a while. If you don't deal with the 2-year-old tornado, you got a teenage typhoon coming. Just telling you, it's funny, but I am so serious. But we always think if we just get past this, if we could just achieve that, when we get to this place in life, well, you know, it's going to be, oh, I'll be able to relax. No, that's never going to be where true peace comes from. There are always going to be problems. See, don't misunderstand the message of peace. Nowhere in the Bible does the Lord ever tell us that we're not going to have any problems or we're not going to have any battles. And yet, He promises us this peace. See, the peace of the world is outward. His peace is on the inside. Let me tell you something about outward peace. It will always come and go, and mostly go. Matthew 10:34, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, isn't that confusing? But he's not talking about the peace that he gives. He's talking about an outward peace. Jesus didn't come to bring an outward peace in this world. Now, when he comes again and he sets up a millennial reign in this world, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. But Jesus didn't come to set up peace on this world, not in an outward way. No, he came to give us an inward peace. When the Lord called Gideon to lead the children of Israel in their fight for freedom against their captors, he sent him into battle, and this is what he said to him, part of it at least, Judges 6, 23 and 24. Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you, do not fear. You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." In the Hebrew, that is Jehovah Shalom. Now here he is, he's been told that he's going to lead the children of Israel in the fight. And the Lord tells him, "Peace be with you." And this is where we get that great name of God, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. You see, it's not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of problems. It is that the Lord himself is with us. Now, Gideon could go into the battle with peace because the Lord told him, "You're not going to die. You're going to have victory." I got news for you this morning. You can have peace. Because no matter what the battle, no matter what the situation, the circumstances, the Lord gives us the victory. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm just telling you, we can have peace in the midst of conflict. Our peace is not dependent upon the circumstance. Oh, we just want it to all go away. But I'm telling you, there is a place where the peace is so real that though the battle is waging around you, it doesn't bother you. David said in Psalm 23, "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's a good place to be. I told you the world's peace is elusive. It can be hard to find even for a few moments. But Jesus' peace is freely given to us. It is a gift. He said, "My peace I give unto you." You just have to receive it by faith. Just accept it. But listen, it's been paid for. Isaiah 53 and 5, we read it last week. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You see, the same one who paid the price for our sin, who paid the price for our healing, he also paid the price for us to have peace. He suffered so you could have peace. So how do we receive this peace? You have to look to him. Don't look to other things. Jesus said in John 16, 33, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." In this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, "In me you have peace." See, you got to keep looking to Jesus. Don't get your eyes on anything or anybody else. No, you got to look to Jesus as the source of your peace. He's the sovereign ruler of the universe. I want you to think about this. Listen, there isn't anything that he doesn't know. I can assure you, he knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our words before we even speak them. He knows. He has the power to do anything. His power is unlimited. He spoke the world. He spoke the galaxies into being by the words of his mouth. I'm telling you, there's not anything that he cannot do. And he loves you. You see, you can have peace when you look to him who is your provider. You can have peace when you look to the one who is your healer. You can have peace when you look to him who is your righteousness. I'm telling you, you see, whatever the battle, whatever the problem, he is more than enough. You can have peace when he is your shepherd. He leads you and he guides you. He leads you by the still waters. You can have peace when you know that he is your defender. And people are saying bad things about you or falsely accusing you. I remember one time I felt all alone. I said, Lord, nobody's got my back. Wrong thing to say to the Lord. And I'm telling you, when he's got your back, you're good. You see, you can have peace when you are wronged and hurt. Listen, and you think, oh, they can't get away with it. Listen, you can have peace when you know that God is your avenger. You see, you just got to look to him. You can always have peace. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? We're dying, don't you care? Sounds like some of us sometime. Lord, don't you care? Don't you see what's going on? Are you asleep again? Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the waves. He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, when we get all stressed out and worried and fearful, anxious, where's our faith? Surely, Jesus is in your boat. And you don't have anything to fear. Nothing to fear. You see, Satan is the one who deals and uses fear to control and to manipulate. We don't have to be afraid. The Lord of the storm. See, he's Lord over the storm. At any moment, Jesus can say, peace, be still, and it's over. He doesn't always calm the storm. Sometimes he just gives us peace through the storm. And I want you to understand this spiritual truth here in this passage, that if we'll allow him to truly be Lord in our lives and we'll receive that peace, that, listen, when he says, my peace I give to you, for us it should be just like when he spoke to the sea. I mean, when Jesus says peace to you, we ought to just receive that and let a great calm come over us. Peace. No matter what's going on the outside, I'm telling you, we should never worry or fret. He is Lord. He is Lord over the audit. He's Lord over illness. He is Lord over divorce. He is Lord over traffic. I don't know about you. I mean, I know some of you are much more spiritual than I, but traffic really gets to me sometimes. I just have a hard time with it. It's one of those things that you can't control. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you just, you know, you don't have any power, any control. And, you know, that's what stresses us a lot of the time. It's the things that we can't control. I mean, if you're stressed over things that you can do something about, well, that's just lazy. But if, you know, most of the time we are stressed over things that we don't have any control over. And I know that traffic can be kind of a small thing and a trite thing, but there might be somebody that can relate to my frustration. So I was behind a car one day, and they were going way under the speed limit. And I was thinking, man, they're making me late. And I'm gripping the steering wheel. What can you do? Well, I know what I should do. I should have peace. And I'm learning. And this one day in particular, it really helped me learn, because once that car moved or something, I don't remember if they got, you know, they turned or whatever, but they were no longer in front of me. And as soon as they were gone, I was coming up to a light, a traffic light. And I was so thankful. It was green. And it's like a 3-minute light. And so I was like, wow, 3 minutes. That's way more time than what they cost me. You're Lord of lights. Now, I just want you to know something. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in traffic and there's even been a wreck on the road and you're there for 45 minutes. He's still Lord. And you need to trust the sovereign Lord of the universe that you're going to be just fine. Well, I'm going to be late for my appointment. I know all about it. I'm going to tell you something. We need to learn to just have peace and just trust God. We get so wound up and so bent out of shape over so many things. And as I said, I know that's just a little thing. There are much bigger battles in life. But in every battle, we just need to learn to look to Him. He is able. Next, we come to Him. Jesus says to a stressed out world in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. All those who labor and are heavy laden. You see, Jesus is speaking to all of those who have been under a burden, carrying a weight, working so hard, doing all you can. He was speaking to those also that were weighted down by the religion of the day. But whatever that burden, whatever that stress might be, He offers rest. Rest for your soul. Notice He says, lowly in heart. Let go of the stuff that isn't yours to bear. You see, we should do our best for Him in everything that we do. You should be a good student. You should do a good job in the workplace. You should do your best to be a good parent, a good husband, a good wife. I'm just telling you, we have to do what we're supposed to do, but we should have freedom and do it with joy because we trust Him with the result. He says, take my yoke. And I want you to know the only way that you can really be free from the burdens of life is to take His yoke. So we submit to Him. We humble ourselves, lowly in heart, He says. You see, we have to humble ourselves before Him. We have to be willing to obey Him. He says, learn from me. And what did Jesus do? I mean, if you're going to learn from Jesus, here's what Jesus did. He always pleased the Father. He always said what the Father wanted Him to say. He did what the Father wanted Him to do. I'm just telling you that if we're going to learn from Jesus, then we need to learn and understand this, that here is our place in life. Here's the duty of man, Ecclesiastes says. It's for us to obey God. It is for us to simply do what the Lord wants us to do. You see, your place in life is not to control everything. It's not to manage the world. It's not to fix the whole world. No, it's all beyond your ability. But your place is to do what God asks of you. And I want to remind you back what we read earlier in John 14, 27, when Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Who is He talking about when He says to you? He is talking about not the whole world. He's talking about His disciples. He's talking about true followers, not pretenders, not casual Christians. And I'm telling you, I'm saying this because there are so many who want the peace that Jesus offers, but they are not willing to submit to Him as Lord. And so they bear the weight of the world in their own life. They don't take on that yoke of Jesus. See, Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Can you say that this morning? I'm telling you, this is for us. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I don't want to be saying, man, this is so hard. My life is so hard. Everything that... No, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's what Jesus wants for us. But we have to be willing to take His yoke upon us. We have to be willing to submit ourselves to Him in humility. You know, our goal just needs to be to please Him, to serve Him. All of our efforts are in vain without His blessing. His way is not the pride way. It is the humble way. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So we have to be willing to humble ourselves. And then He says to be gentle. You see, a lot of the time when we feel stressed, we try to force things when we should do the opposite. We need to be gentle. Let me explain why. Because we need to let God be God. We're not supposed to be trying to do everything ourselves. Let me just give you this little story. I think it illustrates the point so well. George McCausland, he was a great YMCA director, and for many years he served in that capacity successfully. But then at a certain time he noticed that they were losing membership and they were having financial difficulties and had staff problems, and he found himself working 85 hours a week. He wasn't getting much sleep at night. And so he finally took a little time off. And while he was off, he was worrying and fretting about all the problems And he went to a therapist, and the therapist told him, he said, "You're on the verge of a nervous breakdown." So he knew that he had to do something. He had to get alone with God. And so he took the afternoon with a pad and paper, and he went out into the woods, found a solitary place where he could get alone with God. And there in that solitary place, as he talked with the Lord, he began to feel himself relax. For the first time in months, he felt his body truly relax. He got out his pen and his paper, and he wrote a letter to God. It simply said, "Dear God, today I hereby resign as general manager of the universe. Love, George." Some of you need to resign. Then with a twinkle in his eye, George said, "In wonder of wonders, God accepted my resignation." I'm telling you, most of the stress of life comes from things that we can't control. Those things that are not in our control, I'm telling you, He has the power to fix. He can take care of it. But we have to be willing to humble ourselves. There is a verse in 1 Peter 5:7. Many of you know it by heart. We love to quote it. And we so often quote it this way: "Cast your care on Him, for He cares for you." But I tell you, we really don't get the whole truth here. And sometimes a half-truth will lead you astray. In fact, if you'll notice, it's not even a complete sentence. We need to read the verse before, 1 Peter 5:6-7. He says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, comma, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." You see, when we are prideful, when we think, "I can do it, I'm going to fix this, this is my responsibility, I got to do this, I got to do that," we end up carrying it all ourselves. It is when we humble ourselves before the Prince of Peace and we say, "I can't do this. I don't have what it takes. I need You. I acknowledge that You are my help. You're my strength. You're my portion. You're my provider." We acknowledge our need. We humble ourselves before Him and we let Him be God. And in so doing, we're casting our care on Him, because He cares for us. But as long as we refuse to humble ourselves and we're going to do it our way, we still carry all of that care and anxiety ourselves. We have to humble ourselves before the King. Last, turn it over to Him. Casting your care on Him. You can't just ignore the problems of life. You can't just look the other way or stick your head in the sand. That's not peace. That's denial. But what you can do is give them to Jesus. Just turn them over to Him and let Him handle it. Do what you're supposed to do. I know in our culture today, there's always somebody that wants to just blame God for not doing the things that they themselves should have done. Do what you're supposed to do, but leave the rest to God. Let God take care of it. Turn it over to Him. Cast the care over on Him. Get free from it. Jesus is the source of peace, and He offers to you today His peace. I want you to stand. We're going to pray together. Prayer partners, would you go ahead and come? Father, I thank You for the peace that we have in Jesus. Peace. Peace. Thank you, Father. I speak it over this congregation. I speak it over these individual lives. Peace. 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 I tell you, the Lord wants you to have rest for your soul. You know, sometimes it's nice to have rest for the body, but you can rest the body and the soul still have no rest. Rest for your soul. Look to Jesus. Stop looking to anything else. Look to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Oh, you see, when you're stressed, when you're worried, you got to go to Jesus. That's the only way. You got to humble yourself. And you got to turn it over to Him. I encourage you this morning, if you need peace, He offers you His peace. Don't leave this building today until you receive that peace. I really believe it's that simple, that you can receive that peace this morning. Jesus is still saying, come to me, you who are weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Come to me. As we close the service this morning, I especially want to say that if you've been trying to do life without Jesus, peace will always elude you until you come to Jesus. If you're ever going to have peace, you first have to make peace with God. The Lord Jesus Christ provided that for us. The Bible says in Romans 5:1 that we are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you can have peace with God because Jesus has already paid the price for your sin. He's already taken care of your wrongs and your mistakes. You have peace with God through Jesus. And so if you need peace in your life this morning, maybe you need that rest for your soul. Maybe you're going through a great battle right now. Listen, whatever it might be, if you need peace this morning, I encourage you to come. Let somebody pray with you. I'm going to let the congregation be dismissed, but if you need prayer, you just come, all right? Lord bless you. Peace be upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.